It's 1997, and I'm playing college soccer. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm playing the best of my ability. I am running extremely hard. I'm exercising on another level, and I had no idea what I was getting into. I'm playing in the season, so we're at a tournament, and many of you know this story that are close to me, but no one on the planet knows the ending part of the story, which I'll share for the first time. Not even my wife knows this story. So I'm playing at a tournament at James Madison University, and I'm playing against Rutgers, and I was so excited because it was like a big tournament, and I thought, this is amazing, here I am. And James Madison University is a huge university where the stands were filled with beautiful ladies, and I'm running backwards, and the ball is on the other side of the pitch, and I'm running backwards, and I am technically not showing off, but I was just slowly walking backwards. And before you know it, I trip over my feet and I land on the ground. As I'm laying there on the ground, I thought, what am I going to do, right? So I just continued to lay there and I continued to laugh. I just started laughing. I thought, oh, here I am, all these beautiful girls watching me, and I'm just gonna laugh, right? Out of nowhere, I hear my coach, Coach Stoley. He starts screaming at the top of his lungs, Gresham, get up. I jump up. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. But I laid on the ground far too long. So Coach Stoley yanks me out of the game. That was the last time I ever played college soccer. That's the part of the story that no one's ever heard. When I was sitting on the sideline, I thought, oh, you know, what's the big deal? You know, I tripped over my own feet. What you guys don't realize is I'm actually a horrible soccer player. I'm a horrible soccer player. I'm not good at all. Matter of fact, one of my teammates from Venezuela, Tino, he said to me, he said, stop trying things. Tino, what do you mean? He said, stop. Just do what you're good at. And at the time, I didn't really know what I was good at. I didn't. It wasn't until years later that I realized, I think I know what I'm good at. But what happened was, I laid there far too long in what I was good at. I was good at running. I was just good at running. That was it. I would make plays because I would catch the person and either trip myself, trip them, or at least get the ball away from them. That was the only thing I was good at. So when I laid on the ground, I actually just stopped doing things. I stopped doing what I was good at, and so coach pulled me. Guys, for years I thought, I'm such a good soccer player. My coach pulled me. And I had all this, you know, this resentment, this offense, like, I can't believe it, man. I'm awesome. A couple years back, I decided to go online and I typed in my college soccer team. And just to kind of see if there was photos or something. So I found a photo of my team photo. It's one of the most embarrassing things ever. Matter of fact, it was so embarrassing that I didn't even screenshot the full picture, but I will describe what happens. So here's the photo of my team. I'm number 8. I'm this skinny guy over there. I'm not even looking at the camera. Everyone else is looking at the camera, I think everyone is, except me. So at the bottom of the photo, it has everyone's name. You know, their number, their name, and even their position. It had number 8, question mark. Talk about a humbling moment. For years. Some of you, if you've been around here long enough, Shane Gooch might be one of the few that have been around here long enough, the Strouts. I used to tell people in times, I would actually bring in soccer thoughts of like, I would in my messages, I would talk about soccer until I found that photo. I haven't talked about soccer since. Why? Because I'm embarrassed. I was a horrible soccer player. But what I was good at was not giving up. But in the moment of seeing the world watching me, I decided to lay on the ground and make a laugh out of it. Never to play again. So embarrassing. Please take the photo off the screen. I can feel it still behind me. Thank you. You know, for all of us in this room, you're always asking the question, what's my purpose? What am I good at? What's the point? You came here this morning to church for a reason. And for some of us in this room, you know, who knows what you're going through? Who knows what the heavy burden is, the weight, what your past is? I understand all of those factors. I get it. But there really is a reason why we're here, and we need to make more of an initiative to say, hey, I'm present. I'm here, all right? Stop having this come-and-go type of, like, revolving door. Stop coming and visiting 100 different churches. Just find a church. If it's not Trailhead, then go to a church, all right? That's fine. Just go to a church. Make it your church. Be useful, all right? Because it is hard to make things happen when you don't know who's there. I can't work well with deficiencies when there's an emptiness or a void. It's like, oh, are they going to show up? Are they going to be here? Are they committed? What's happening? Who's here? Who's a part of the body of the Christ and saying, you know what? When the doors are open, we are here. Because this is valuable. Because God's, it's not a matter of Pastor Josh. I don't promote. God promotes. I see that constantly through the body of Christ. God promotes. When God sees that you're doing what he's called you to do, he puts you in the game. He puts you in the game. I reflect back in my soccer career, and I think about, I was actually really bad. I was really bad. I was embarrassingly bad. And I remember a game that I was playing in, and the coach, before I got out there, he pulled me to the side, and he said, Gresham, I want you to go in there, and I want you to be a bull in a china shop. And I was thinking, yeah, because that's what I do. Do you see how skinny I was? Like, I'm no bull. I'm a calf. Right? Why is my wife laughing more? Stop laughing. I want to hide behind the podium because I'm so muscular now, baby. But I think about it because it wasn't the size. It was just the audacity of just stupidity. I'll go. You want me to knock down number 10? He's mine, you know. Yellow cards? I ain't scared of yellow cards. Like, that was my head. Like, I'll do what I want. So now I reflect on this and I go, oh, that's right. I was basically just chaos. I was chaos on the field to disrupt what these guys had planned. They didn't even know what was coming. No idea. You guys, I got a yellow card for screaming one time. You're sitting here. If you play soccer, some of you don't play soccer and you have no idea. You don't get yellow cards for screaming. That's okay. Somehow, the ref was tired of hearing my mouth, came over to me, warned me, and I just kept doing it, and then he gave me a yellow card for screaming, all right? That's called chaotic, all right, chaotic. So I know in reading the scriptures and understanding the Bible that God is looking for people who are saying, I got it, I'll do it, here I am, and is not willing to lay down, to not be focused on the world, and to care what the world is seeing or doing, but to say, you know what, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep hard. No big deal. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, therefore, go. So many people ask the question of, like, what do I need to do, and how am I going to do it? Quite simply, therefore, go. It says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. You're not doing this alone. Praise the Lord, you're not doing this alone. Yeah. Now, some of you think that seems really big. There's this big side of this, and because it gets so big and overwhelming that you just tend to not do anything because you don't know where to start or where to begin. And those are things that we'll dive into in just a second. But in the where do I start, I really want you to right now take a stop moment, a hard stop. And I know this seems really strange, but I want you to look around the room right now. Turn around. Look around at everyone in this room. Look at the people in this room. I know. This is weird. Okay, now everyone look at me. Now you saw everyone. Hopefully you did what I asked you to do. Please tell me you did. Okay, so all the balcony people, you just look over, all right? All right, now listen. Is it possible Now, let's be real, and this is rhetorical, by the way, but is it possible for me to reach all of you? It's not. It's not even possible. It's not possible for me to make all the phone calls and to meet with you personally, and it's not possible to fill all of these seats as if this is all my responsibility. It's our responsibility. So when you turn around and you look around, you see all these different people, you go, you know what? There's a lot of people here. There should be more people here. Not because of a matter of growth of thinking, oh, we need to be this big thing. No, no, no. Because if we're doing what the Great Commission says, which is therefore go, then there's no other way but to grow. It's not possible. So when you get into the Word and you discover what it says, God says he cares about every seat. Do you remember the parable where Jesus talks about the wedding banquet? Or the banquet, he said, hey, come on, let's go. Everyone come in. And there's people making all these excuses. Well, I can't make it here. I can't do that. And it's really sad because you are missing out on so many opportunities to see the glory of God in your life. So you all have now, by looking around the room, you've taken responsibility to realize, okay, Pastor Josh can't do it all. There's just no way. It's not possible, okay? My job, actually, as the pastor, is to equip you to do the ministry. That's my job, is to equip you to do the ministry. So I'm helping you, I'm giving you some tools to do the ministry where you are. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, it says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. All right? So here we go. So all of us should know this. When you read the scripture, you recognize, okay, there's pastors, evangelists. So we bring in people all throughout the year with those giftings. We have some people in the church that have those giftings. And so we show this to the body of Christ so that then they can go into the work, into their communities, and then they begin to share the gospel. Now, we can prove this to be true because there's a lot of people in the Bible that aren't pastors that did exactly what we just said to do. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not vocational pastors. They were not in the vocational ministry full time. They were actually sheep herders, managers, directors, owners, landowners. They were everything but pastors. We also see Joseph. He was basically a governor, all right? And he was everything but a governor beforehand and then becomes a governor. Then you see Deborah. She was a judge. We see Queen Esther, definitely not a pastor. We see Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer. We see Gideon. He was threshing wheat. He was doing work when God called him to lead God's army. He was not a pastor. He was not standing. Matter of fact, he didn't want anything to do with it at first because he was scared of death. We see Matthew. He's a tax collector. We see Andrew, Peter, James, and John. They were what? Fishermen. They weren't pastors. This isn't this notion of like, oh, man, someday, like as if, and I know you guys aren't, but it's someday it's like, oh, someday I might be a pastor. No. That would be awful. If we were all pastors, that would be awful. That's not the point. It's so weird to think that it's like, oh, maybe one day when I'm a good enough Christian, I'll be a pastor. I'm still waiting to be a good enough Christian. Oh, right, shut up. Nobody's perfect. Right. We're going from glory to glory to glory. So when you read the Word of God, you need to start understanding, okay, what is my gift? What is my purpose in this? It's not just a Bible of stories, and we just go, oh, this makes me feel good. Or No. It's the discovery of what I should be doing, all right? So that first step that we all should be doing is drawing near to God. Drawing near to God is key. Why is that key? Well, because that gets you started. That's the beginning steps. So in Psalm 73, 28, it says, but as for me, how good is it to be near God? I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. When you're in the presence of God, you can't stay quiet. It's proven. In Hebrews 7:19, it says, "For the law never made anything perfect, but now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God." That better hope. Some of you need that better hope in your life. It just looks dark and gloom, and you're sitting there, you go, "I don't know how I'm going to do this." You've got to draw near to him. Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." When you come to him on a daily, consistent basis, God reminds you who you are in Christ Jesus. He washes you, he cleanses you, so you're not carrying the heavy load of this world. He reminds you that you have a purpose, that there's a plan for you. He reminds you of these gifts and these abilities so you don't harbor offense and pain and anger and resentment, so you don't carry these things and have this hard chip on your shoulder. I mean, that's crazy. That's hard when you come across people who say, "Yeah, I love Jesus," but then they have this Mr. Hyde type of moment where you're like, "Whoa, who's this individual?" I mean, that's scary. So some of you will have excuses to not draw near to God. I get it. But I want you to be more conscious of those moments and then be more aware of it to say, "Oh, but why is it that I don't like it when my spouse talks about God in church? Like, why is it that I get uncomfortable? Why is it that when someone from the work wants to pray, and I'm like, oh gosh, what are these moments?" And then begin to bring those forth before God and say, "God, I'm having a difficulty. Why am I struggling with this? Am I harboring something? God, do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Do I have something that's attached to me that is somehow manifesting an emotion that is not in alignment to your word, according to God's word, so that I can be an instrument for noble purpose? So Lord, show me, reveal to me why I carry anger. Why do I have this that I don't want to hear the word of God? Because I'm tired of having bad days." So when you have bad days, consistent bad days, this is where you have to say, "Lord, why? Why do I want to make this a bad day right now? Why am I not choosing the joy of the Lord that is my strength? Why isn't that every day I can wake up with the strength that you've promised me, but yet I feel weak? Lord, show me your truth in this." Begin to pay attention to your habits. Begin to listen to the words that you're speaking out. Are they life or are they death? Proverbs 18:21, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. What are you speaking out? Consistently examining yourself to say, why is it? Because why is this important? Because you need to be set free. Yeah. You need to be set free from having these excuses to draw near to God. I know some of you feel lost. Some of you feel upset. Some of you feel like you've been dealt a bad hand. Get it. But this is where you draw near to him. Yeah. Those things should push you towards God, not take you away from him.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the difference. Most people use them as an excuse not to go to him.
Yeah.
But you've got to awaken to go, these things are causing me to have a distance between me and my relationship with God. So I need to figure this out. I gotta pay attention to my mind here. Why is my mind playing these games on me? I've got to stop it. You know, the Israelites made this same mistake. The Israelites did it, and the scripture, I'm going to read it in just a second. It's one of those scriptures when you read it, you go, oh my Lord, the revealing words that were spoken, shocking to me. It's one of the most shocking verses, Exodus 20, 18 through 19. When the people, the Israelites, saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Isn't that interesting? They put they put the distance between them and their relationship with God. They said, no. They drew away from him instead of drawing near to him. Wow. We do this on our own scale. Obviously, we don't have some giant mountain where God's hanging out. But we do this with all the other things. Horoscope, please, you speak to me. Fancy crystals and rocks and incense, please, that speak to me, right? Don't say I'm crazy. I've had people, you actually will say things, you'll put objects before God, and you'll say, God, if you'll put objects, even people, you'll say things like, Lord, if I'm supposed to do this, tell Pete, and Pete will tell me. And you're like, what? But you'll put things in front of your own relationship with God. God, show me if I win the lottery. That's my favorite one. And you know, it's so funny. Every time I talk about the lottery, there's someone in this room. Someone. I don't know why. You're not listening to me right now. Everyone wake up. Because let's make this a first. Someone in this room will still tell me at the end of this sermon that you're going to give when you win the lottery. For some reason. I don't know why. I'm trying to teach you something right now. Stop playing the lottery because you're relying on a poor man's tax. All right? And you're relying on man to make your provision met when God's telling you, hey, I am everything you need. I've got it all. But yeah, it's like $800 million right now, Josh. All right, whatever. Come tell me at the end of service how you're going to tithe off of it. Okay. We need to be careful of what we're putting between us and him. We need to be careful what we're saying and how we're acting. Second thing we need to be doing is we got to discover and develop your gifts, okay? You'll say, how do I discover? Let's read. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 18, it says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. So you have to have context, and you have to have understanding of why do you need to discover and develop your gift? Well, the purpose is for the body of Christ. Some people start looking for their gifting, that blessing that God's blessed them with, that talent, whatever it is, but you do it for selfish ambition. The question we think, I believe was happening, that we need to ask often is, are you asking God to follow you and your purpose? Or are you following him and his purpose? Because that's what the body of Christ is for his purpose. People are using their gift. Quite frankly, you're a whore. Oh man, I know you're like, what? Where's this going? Yeah. Yeah. You're actually cheating on God. You're whoring yourself out. I know you're like, stop saying that word. That's how I feel right now. You are giving your gifts and your talents to this world. You're cheating on God, and you're not bringing it in here to the body of Christ. I want to be funny, but I'm being recorded. So I'll stop. These are those quips that people find, and they use them over and over again. The pastor, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12... in verse 22, it says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do a test right here. You are not going to hear the most important body part right now. You will not hear it. Everyone, let's be real quiet. A few weeks ago, we had family services in here. Our body part wasn't working. Children's church, one of the most important body parts in this church. The most in my brain. The most. How beautiful that right now, the reason why you don't actually hear them, because they're not back there babysitting. They're actually teaching them a lesson. They're back there sowing into their lives. They're not just giving them a coloring sheet. They're actually teaching them. A few weeks ago, a young girl, they were talking about prayer requests, and she mentioned about how someone passed away in her life, and she started crying, and all the kids got real quiet. It's not just a room full of kids playing with Play-Doh. Real life is happening back there. Kids are ministering to one another, actually. The adults that are back there are doing powerful things. And some people just treat it like with contempt of like, here's my kid. Some of you don't want to volunteer in the area because you're like, it's not worth it. Give me something bigger. That's one of the, if not the most important jobs here. Because we are a generational church. In Romans 12, verses 4 through 6, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." We've been told right here, let us use them.
Yes, that's right.
How do you discover those gifts? Risk. Do it. Step out. Begin.
Yeah, that's right.
Years ago, I was working out with a friend of ours, and so I was working out, but I didn't know how to work out, and he was teaching me some things, but I really wasn't listening because I was still naive and understanding of everything. But it wasn't until something happened that I realized, I don't know what I'm doing. Isn't that interesting how we kind of all learn those things as we go and process? You go, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm working out in the gym on the beauty parts, you know, the biceps, only the biceps. Then I'm doing an exercise because I'm not doing core exercise along with everything else. Then guess what I get? A hernia. Why do I get a hernia? Because I'm working on the biceps, only the biceps. So when you only have one body part you're working on, and then you go to start doing other things, and I was doing a bicep workout, but because I was doing too much weight here, I wasn't working on this, and I got two hernias. And then guess what? You're out. You can't work out for a very long time. Even after surgery, I'm doing 10 pounds now, because that I don't want another hernia. Those are awful. What happens in the body is that we're overworked in certain areas, and the other areas where people have the gifting, they're not participating, and then what happens is there's a deficiency, then there's a hernia, and then what happens to the hernia is actually anger, bitterness, offense, these people over here, they don't do nothing, I'm doing everything, blah, blah, blah. And then you realize that it starts imploding on itself inside the body of Christ. We have to be like, hey, here I am, send me, everybody. And it takes just the small things. My encouragement is that you do something. That risk of stepping out and saying, I want to do this. I believe that risk actually equals development. Now, I'm not talking about foolishness. The Bible talks about being prudent, of knowing what we need to do. Well, that comes back to step one. Draw near to him. When you draw near to him, you'll know what you need to do. So then there's not this foolishness. So then the prudent don't even use this prudence. They're like, I don't want to be a risk taker. That's dangerous. Well, no, you're not, because you've been meeting with God. So that takes care of the risk in the sense of wild nature, foolishness. No, this have the wisdom of God because you've drawn near to him. And in doing so, you recognize, oh, hey, you know what? I actually have a real purpose. I actually have gifts. I'm going to start somewhere. So that risk, you begin to step out. So this leads me to my third point, which is do something. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, this is amazing. It says, but Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Isn't that wild? He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Wow. Talk about willing to do anything. Some people think that when Elijah was pulled out of the mountain and then God told him to go and anoint Elisha as his, basically, the next person in line, he says, no, actually, you're going to pour water on my hands, Elisha. Like, some people think that, like, no, he's going to come in and he's going to learn and do all these great and magnificent things, and actually he's pouring water on Elijah's hands for a season. What if it's just the small things? Some of us we're not willing to do the small things. You have these grandiose ideas, these big stuff, and it's like there's like no dependency on you to do anything unless it's only these things. When it starts with the small things, and then Elisha goes to do double of what Elijah did. Interesting. I think with stepping out with doing something, you've got to be willing to go deeper and bigger. So that brings me back to what we mentioned earlier of the different individuals, their professions, Matthew being the tax collector, and then you've got all the fishermen, all the disciples that were fishermen. In Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7, it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When God says to do something, you need to do it. What I loved is that God equipped them to say, go deeper. And then when they went deeper, then he also cast out your nets, right? It wasn't saying cast out your fishing rod, right? We can look at fishing for just a second. Fishing is one of those sports that is very unique. There's different baits, there's different rods, there's different styles, there's different locations, all these different things. But particularly in the ocean, you know, the net was the most proficient. For us in this room, we have everything the Word of God says. We have it all. We have everything we need. We have everything to be successful in this room. We aren't lacking anything. The Word of God tells us this, that when you are going to Him, you won't lack anything. So there's no excuses. We have the nets. And it's not safe to do these things alone. And thank the Lord that we don't have to do things alone. Matter of fact, I brought a video for all of you guys to watch. This is called Noodling. It's one of my favorite things to watch stupidity at its finest. This is my favorite. This is stupidity at its finest. Look at his arm right there. The blood. Jesus died once. We don't need to die again. That's what this tells me. When I look at that, I think, thank the Lord that he doesn't tell us to go out there and stick our hands in people's mouths, all right? Fishing is meant better, and you'll have a greater success with a net rather than a singularity. If we said, hey, you know what, guys, this week, everybody, this week is Terrence's time. Yeah. Terrence, you are this week's golden child to go minister the gospel to all of Alamance County, while the rest of us, we just sit tight. Seems pretty dumb, doesn't it? Yes. Looks like that, doesn't it? Pretty dumb. But yet, We're doing that every week almost.
Yeah.
When we're a net and we got everything we need, we just got to be willing to go deeper. Deeper, not in the sense of like this maturity, deeper in the theology where you just have this big bobblehead and you can't even move and you're just going like that. That's not what I'm talking about. All right. I'm talking about the deeper of I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to take some risk. I'm going to go out with what God's telling me to do, pour water on someone's hands.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to be kind to someone this week, and I'm going to introduce them to Jesus through my kindness. I'm going to be kind.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring them their favorite dessert and just tell them that I'm praying for them. Don't just do a favorite dessert and then be like, picture your favorite dessert, woo, and then you're out. What's that? You fix them their favorite dessert and say, hey, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you today. God laid you on my heart. I made this, and I want to pray for you. So this leads me to where I really want to talk about. So last year, I'm going to talk about a lot of things right now, real quick. Okay. So last year, let's go back years ago. Years ago, we get this church, and 15 years ago, man, and it's been such a fun ride, and we're not done yet. We got so much to go. And we're sitting here, we're dreaming about things, we're knowing what we got to do, and then things start, you know, taking place. We start moving. And we sold our location, we moved to the theater, and then we come in here, and we start renovating this place, and we come in here, and we work on it. And then what's cool is that, man, so many people came in and helped. And then you hear all these pastors talk about when they come in, and all these evangelists, everyone who comes in, they go, man, this place is crazy, and oh, it's so beautiful, and all these kind of things. You're like, yeah, that's great. So we know that we have a great, wonderful asset for the kingdom of God. Something is unique about this building, you know? And so it's like, all right, because we're a true testimony of, and I like to think of it, this building as a representation of what Christ does. Takes an old abandoned shell and brings life into it and does something good for the kingdom of God. So, so last year, we started... I laid on my heart, God laid on my heart, the thought of preschool and daycare and different things. And so how to use this asset to the greatest ability. So I started researching how to do preschool daycare stuff. So we started that at the beginning of last year. And then as the months progressed and we met with certain people and the right people and all these kind of things, it started, things became open to us where we started going, we're not ready for this. We're not even close to being ready. Even financially speaking, like, it seemed like we needed a lot of money in the bank account to actually really do it successful versus, like, we're the broken down preschool. Drop your kids off. We're safe. So we're like, not going to happen. So unfortunately, we learned a lot. We learned a lot of stuff. And that's something we're putting on a shelf. And we'll revisit that when God opens that door back, okay? But we put it on a shelf. But what happened was we didn't have that revelation until October of this past year, into September, October, where all of a sudden it was like, oh, oh, oh. So then it was like, all right, men's conference, women's conference, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, and then now we're here. So then what's laid on my heart now of just knowing what we're supposed to be doing. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, I know I'm a little bit of everywhere right now, because I just want to tell you everything, but last year, we were laying down on the soccer field on our backs and not doing what we needed to be doing. Yeah, granted, we still had church. People were still saved. People were baptized. Things happened. People shot goals. They scored. Woo! We won, but there was more things that needed to be done, and so that's where I got off the pitch, and I stood up, and I go, oh, come out. We need to do something. Now, what you don't realize is we did all kinds of things last year. We started the Bridge Ministry last year downstairs, where we are seeing hundreds of people being fed every month, hundreds and hundreds of people being fed every single month, and tremendous work that's happening down there, tremendous. The volunteers are superb, and it's a beautiful thing that's happening every Thursday. And the food they're getting, by the way, when I take in ministers, guest ministers around the building, and I take them into the bridge, and they go over to the refrigerator, and they go, whoa, 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 whoa. You're giving people meat and eggs? And their mind's blown at that, because they're like, whoa, how are you doing this? And I go, well, we've teamed up with another group that has their act together, and we're coordinating. It's called the Body of Christ. It's really cool. So everybody's working together. So it's awesome when they see meat and eggs and vegetables, and they're like, I'm so confused. Usually it's just a box full of canned foods. Here's some yams that no one else wanted. Right. So it's like real stuff. Super cool. So we did all that last year. Okay, we did all these things. But what I woke up to say, oh, we need to do greater, bigger things. So I feel like, not to be selfish, our community box is checked, meaning Alamance County. We've got more we need to do. We always need to be doing more in Alamance County. When there's a need, we'll fulfill it, whatever that is. That's always there, okay? But then I realized we need to do some more stuff in the body of Christ, like meaning us, more community things, okay? So to start, here in February, we're going to do our family series, which we've done in years past, called Homework. So we're doing our family series coming up here in February, and then we're doing Wednesday midweeks in the month of February as well, where we want you to show up. We're going to do some fun things, and the very last Wednesday, we're going to have a family game night where we're going to do all sorts of things. We're going to have tables in here, and all of us, we're going to have a big family game night of fun things to do. And so that, I want you all here and participating, because that brings bondage. We're bringing that bonding moment where we bond with, not bondage, that's weird, bonding with one another. And we're growing, and we're getting to know each other's names. So it's not just like, who's that guy in the red shirt over here? I don't know. He's related to somebody. And no, his name's Michael. Right? Wait. So instead of having this, we just kind of treat people as like, man, we don't know who you are. No, we know who you are. So I know that this year is a year that we want to know people. That it's not just come to church. No, this is, we are the church. And we're doing community things together. So then that leads me to the next thing. The Valentine's dance. I know some of you are thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard for a church to do. We thought the same thing. Then Ben and Caroline, at the end of the night, Caroline comes up to me and goes, best night ever. She goes, we got to do this more often. And she goes, because we don't go on dates as adults like this anymore. And this is a good, wholesome, fun event where you see some crazy outfits, and people are just having a good time. We play 80s music, heavy hors d'oeuvres. I can't say that word very well. It's a fun evening. And some of you go, well, not in the church. Why not the church? Because I'm tired of people going out of the church to do these things. Come in the church and do these things where we keep it wholesome and fun and we meet everyone. I think I was out on the dance floor the most, outside of Damaris. And so me and Damaris were on the dance floor the whole night. It was amazing. And so you should come because, again, you get to know people. Some of you go, I don't dance. You can watch people dance. We had games. We had prizes. It was so much fun. You got to come out. We're going to do more small group events this year where it's dedicated to the small groups. So we have some things on the calendar that we'll be participating in this year. We're going to bring back the Creeper Trail bike ride for just the small groups. My kids are so excited. But if you're a part of a small group, there's going to be all sorts of fun events to bring the families together and where we, again, can share our walk with Christ with one another. That's going to happen. This year, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but Pastor Dave's like, we talked about it. What should I say and not say? Because I don't want to make false promises to some of you, but I don't really care. So let's go with it. We're trying right now. We're actually trying to do a community event to raise money for the bridge. So we are trying to organize a 5K right now, and so we're working on all that. We just had one meeting this past week, and we're going to have continual meetings with a few groups of us, and then we're going to try to bring in the whole family here. So it's a 5K run walk, and we're trying to get it where we start here, right at the bridge, and we're going to take off, and then we'll come back to raise money and awareness to what we're doing. So we're going to try to put on that this year, okay, in the fall. And then we have family events that we want to do, picnics on a Sunday evening where we're playing kickball in the park. where we're just getting together as a big family and we're bringing our own food, not potluck for everyone, because I don't trust your casserole, some of you. And so, I'm kidding. But it a fun event in the evening times on Sunday nights, and we're just going to enjoy each other's fellowship to get to know each other more and more and more. We have so many different things like that planned this year. Another big event that we want to do, and again, don't hold me to it, but we're trying. We are researching the ability to do a live nativity scene. I hate live nativity scenes. I think they're super cheesy. When the first meeting came up with Katie and I was like, no, absolutely not. Not doing this. This is stupid. And then it was elevated. Then it was elevated that we will do a hike walk through our backyard over here. We have a huge acreage where we will create a trail experience for families to come here to the property. We will give them snacks and fun things, and then they'll walk through the woods to scenes of the nativity scene, where we're going to try to get a bunch of sheep here, and there will be like a sheep petting farm area. Like, we're thinking big, guys, big. The reason why I'm telling you this now is because we need help clearing out the path. We need help building the manger scene cave thing. We need this. So I'm sprinkling out some of the things we're doing. So I need your help. We need your help to make this all work and actually function properly. And that it's the best because you're a part of it. Here's the big thing. So we have an asset. This building is a huge asset. And if we do what we're instructed to do with what we shared this morning, then we're going to see real, true growth. Not foolish growth, but real growth. If we do what we're called to do, we're going to see growth. So we need to prepare for that growth. So counting the costs and figuring all this out, we need to finish the balcony. So we know we're growing each and every year. Easter, we saw big numbers, and obviously we saw Mother's Day and all the big holiday events. We see these larger numbers. And so that usually points us to the following year, what we're going to see. So at Christmas Eve, we did one service. Sure, we could have done two, but we had people sitting outside of the balcony, out in the little loft area in the lobby there, and that's not good enough. We need to make sure everything is up to top quality and all that good stuff. So I want to finish the balcony. Some of you don't realize it's not finished. It actually needs to have risers put in so that the people that are in the balcony are having a better experience rather than just looking at a television screen. So we want to put in the risers. So in putting in the risers, we also have to finish the bathrooms. Outside the youth space, if you go to the front doors of the youth space, to your right is a closed-off door. That's actually future bathrooms. They have been roughed in, but they need to be completed, but it's a lot of money. So we put that off because we put money towards other things within the facility at the time, and we said we'll get to that later. But it's time to get to that because in order to fulfill the seats in the balcony, we have to finish that. Now, the growth. We're growing. We're a family church. I was at the dentist's office getting my teeth cleaned, and this woman, she was cleaning my teeth, and she goes, oh, you're the pastor of Trailer Church. She goes, I heard I need to send my daughter there. And I said, why? She goes, well, she's believing to get pregnant. I'm like this. I'm like, for real? She goes, yeah, I heard that's the place you get pregnant. All right, true. So the kids' space. So we have youth up above the kids' area. Well, I always want to keep our kids safe. So I want to put the kids in a safe one area. So I want to move the youth to a different area of the building, and I want to turn that into the elementary wing church portion. So it would be the first through fifth grade classroom upstairs to make room for everything downstairs as well and upstairs. I want to put in a slide that goes from that space up there down to the lobby. Why? Because when you're checking your kid out and you have a four-year-old, you can get the four-year-old, but if you have a fourth grader, then the fourth grader just goes down the slide and pops out right here. So I want to put a slide. So when the kids come, they're like, I want a slide. So you don't have to walk up the steps and get your kid, right? So the kid just pops out the slide. Be amazing. Why can't we have the best? We should have the best. I want our kids to come in and be like, oh, I'm going down the slide. Absolutely you are. Adult rated, yes, absolutely, 100%, yeah. So all of that, it needs to take place, but then we need to move our youth downstairs. So show them this video. Go.
Hey, Charlotte Church. So I want to share with you this space. This has been on my heart for a really long time. This is the entrance, what we call our tool room, but I know it's to be the future lobby space into an event area and also our youth space. So I want to show you a few things. Follow me. So this will be changed to glass, by the way, two glass doors. And then as you come into the space, you see it's somewhat vast. It's going to continue to grow and expand. But for this particular phase, I want to put a wall up. So this wall right here, and then it follows along this white PVC pipe that's in the ceiling. But this will be a nice big area to welcome in people to that lobby for the event space, and then also obviously our youth space. So you may look at it and go, oh my gosh, there's so much work that needs to be done. I look at it and I go, actually, it's not that bad. We've seen bigger amounts of work that needs to be done. So I'm actually thrilled to see the possibility. I can see it now. Hopefully you can see it, but it's going to be really awesome. Now follow me down in here to the youth space. So let's go around. We'll have to find a new parking spot for the golf cart, but we'll find that. So follow me down the steps. Cameraman, watch your step. And you'll see this really cool space. So come on in. Here it is. You'll see a huge opportunity. Now, some of you might notice something. There's a big black beam here. So if you're curious where we're standing, we're below the sanctuary stage. Actually, matter of fact, here is the sanctuary stage above me. So this beam is in the wall of the back of the sanctuary all the way up. So two floors down, here we are, or one floor down from underneath the stage. So you see all of this vast open just cavity of awesomeness where the youth will be able to run freely and have all sorts of fun time. We don't know where we put the stage at right now, but we know that we'll have a really cool just stage where worship will be heard, where the youth lives will be changed. It will be so awesome. We know that this will also open up opportunity for the community to come into the space and have parking out in front and really easy accessibility to come in. We plan to put another little door at the top. So instead of the staircase that we just walked down, they'll actually have a ramp that will go all the way out. So from this wall right here, the ramp will come down. It'll have a small little platform or turn, and then it will exit down here, opening up the space, and it'll be so awesome. We want to put our bathrooms into this area over here. So you see, this will be some future bathroom space. We have just, again, so much opportunity to see what God can do in a space like this. So what we're asking from you guys, dream big with us. Be standing in agreement of prayer that God will just come in supernaturally and take care of it all. So get ready. We're about to have a new youth space.
I failed to mention an event real quick. We're going to do a 3-day kid conference this summer as well. So a 3-day kid conference, end of June, which is going to be super fun. So think about, it's not VBS, and it's like a higher level of, just think bigger, okay? But 3-day kid conference. But we know this is all going to take a lot of prayer down below, and it's going to take a lot of work. So we need to be prepared and ready for that. So we have a demo day planned. Oh, yeah, we're bringing back demo days, everyone. Some of you are like twitching. February 17th, Saturday, first demo day. We're going to go downstairs, and we're going to just rip a bunch of stuff out. We'll tell you more of the things we need coming closer as far as some tools and different skill sets, but I need everyone on deck. We're cleaning, we're throwing things away, we're moving, we're doing a number of things, but that's demo day February 17th, so make it happen, put that on your calendar. But guys, some of you are sitting here going, yeah, but it's going to cost money. Absolutely, it's going to cost money. So where are we at with that? I want you to be praying that God just supernaturally lays on all of our hearts what we should step out and give and sow. Some of you, the dollar cost figures, easily, yeah, sure, $1 million and we can make 14 slides coming out into the lobby, duh. All right, you obviously know as, you know, the more. But at the bare minimum, we're looking at like $400,000, $500,000 to do everything that I mentioned. And so, and it could be even more, $100,000 more on top of that. I'm not asking you guys to be like, oh gosh, let's just pour it all out. No, I'm asking for us to step into that prayer closet and say, Lord, what is it? What is it that I can give? How can I give towards this? Because I want to see the future advancement of this, of our generations, to have the best. And on top of that, this gives us an opportunity to have another space within our community for the community to use. The church, Alamance County and everywhere else, they've been using our facility time and time and time again. And so it's been an awesome ministry to have them come in here and actually experience the building. And there's another space that's made available for that. All right, I have to stop talking. I could keep going. So Pastor Philip, come up and wrap this thing up. So guys, what am I asking? I'm asking for you guys to be covering this in prayer. I'm asking for you guys to commit to say, this is my church. I'm a part of the net, and we're going to catch a lot of fish this year.
Well, praise God. I want to do something that we did last year at the beginning of the year, and it's kind of tell you guys about fundraising season, because we are